you battle with being impatient? Just go ahead and raise your hand, and if you're online, go ahead and do the whatever. I got two hands over here. How many of you couldn't wait to get your hand up? You're so impatient. You're like, I gotta get that up there. All right, how many of you are sitting next to somebody that lied? They should have raised their hand. Okay, don't raise your hand now. It doesn't go over well. Just trust me on that one. But what I want you to do is think real personally. You know, because I know everybody's here like, oh, impatient. I know somebody that's impatient. Well, just like put that person to the side right now and just think, okay, how does this work in my life? Because it works differently in different people's lives. And maybe some of you are like me where, like, it's not the big things in my life. Like if I know something's going to take weeks or months or years, typically I can keep plugging away and like, okay, we're going to get there, just keep going after it. These guys that are coached, I mean, when I first started coaching, where Terry and Kenneth was out there, hey, everyone was there. There we go. One of the first things I said is, in the next 3 years, we're going to put some of these kids in the state meet. And what happened 3 years later, Terry? Put kids in that state meet. But so, and I can be patient in that because I know this takes time to develop. It takes time to move along, and I'm not saying I have that mastered, but compared to the little things, I do really well with patience in the big things. Here's what gets me. I can't believe Walmart didn't open up another lane. There's two registers here, and there's, you know, 50 people here, or the, you know, literally working on this sermon and going, okay, I need this thing here, and the computer's like doing that little spinning thing, and I'm like, come on, are you serious? Are you kidding me? Has anybody ever said those words when you're story of your life? Yeah, or it's the car in front of me that can't decide which lane he wants to be in. I'm like, I got an idea. You get in that lane and stay in that lane. It's called the slow lane. All right? And so that's me. That's my impatience, and I'm going to have each one of you come up here and share yours. No, I'm just kidding. But think personally. I mean, how many of you have been challenged with patience during this COVID season? You know, where you're going, okay, you know, the restaurants aren't open. Terry, the gym was closed. That's brutal. I gotta wait in line to get toilet paper. Or I wait in line and there is no toilet paper. Man, this is really trying my patience. Or some of the big ones for me was like this information overload. Like all this news, everything that's coming at me, and then my friends are like, in case you didn't get enough, let me send you some extra stuff. And there's times where I'm like, stop. Please stop. You're driving me nuts. Seriously, please stop. You're driving me nuts. But here's a question. How often do we allow behaviors of other people, failures of other people, or maybe lack of attention somebody's giving you, how often do we allow that to ruin our day or to rob us of our joy? And so what would it look like for you and I if we refuse to allow the behavior of others to ruin our day? Something needs to happen for that to go on. And then here's another. Please just don't raise your hand on this one. Don't comment on this one. But how many of you struggle with being around your immediate family more often than normal? You know, and here's kind of the sad reality. Sometimes the people that we're most impatient with are the people that we love the most. Right? It almost seems like being impatient is kind of like a natural way to go. That's kind of like the default system that we fall into. And I think that's one of the reasons why the Apostle Paul, in Colossians chapter 3, he lists patience as one of these key virtues. He says, put this on. Probably because It's not natural for me. So it's like, I need to wear this. I need to put this on. So we've been in this series, and we're exploring what would it look like as we face all that the world throws at us. You know, we get good stuff coming at us, bad stuff, indifference. What would it look to walk in maturity through that as we navigate that, as we mature as Christians? I've said this many times. God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to let you stay where you are. He wants to mature us. He wants to grow us. He wants us to come to the place where the world events and the challenges that are going on aren't bogging us down. They aren't discouraging us, but we're standing firm, knowing that Jesus Christ has authority over all things, even the evil things that come to our lives. So let me read reread our key passage. We've been going through this one for the last several weeks. Colossians 3, beginning at verse 12. Paul writing to the Colossian church, he says this. He says, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved." So as a follower of Christ, you are chosen by God. You are holy. You are beloved by the Father. You're beloved by Jesus. And he says, because of that, put on this: compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So if you haven't figured this out, we're going to talk about patience today. How many of you already knew that? You caught the signals that I was giving there. You guys are good. So the word patience, in the New Testament, there's actually two words that are translated as patience. And the first one has to do with patience under circumstances. The things that come at us, and it's about enduring over difficult circumstances. And the word we find in Colossians chapter 3 is the same Greek word that's found in the book of Galatians, where Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit, which is really important, because this is something that happens in our lives. This is the fruit of staying connected to the Lord, something he produces in our lives. And the word is made up of two words. You might be familiar with at least one of them. The first word is makros. You think micros, makros. And the other is thumos. So makros thumos, which literally means long temper, which doesn't mean that you have a temper that lasts a long time. it means you're slow too. You have this long period before you lose it. That's patience there. And this word is actually used in relationships more than circumstances. So let me give you a working definition of this. Patience is to be long-suffering with people, inspired by mercy. How many of you would like to be known as that? Yeah, that you're somebody that's long-suffering with people, inspired by mercy? Two of you. All right. Let me explain how this looks out, how the Bible challenges us here. A month ago, I said I was challenging us to read through a chapter of Proverbs a day. Again, don't raise your hand or anything like that. But I want to look at Proverbs to describe what does it look like to be patient. So Proverbs 16:32. And here's what the Bible says about patience. It says, "Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty." That's important there. Are you serious? Slow to anger is better than the mighty? I mean, who is it that we look up to? We look up to the mighty, right? We're looking up for these heroes. We're looking up for what people seek after. They seek after power. And the Bible says, if you're slow to anger, you're better than the mighty. And it says, he who rules his spirit than he who takes the city. So this is more important than those things. And when we think about that, being patient is better than being demanding. It's also a lot more fun to be around. Being patient is better than being argumentative. Being patient is better than living in a controlling manner. Being patient, that it's better to wait on God's timing than to try to move things ahead on your own timing. Anybody got a fun testimony of you didn't wait on God, you tried to move ahead? And you probably have a testimony, it's just not fun, right? Yeah, and so the Bible's saying these things are better. So let's explore. Well, let me throw one thing in there, and then we'll explore why this is better. I want to remind us that this isn't like an optional, where Paul's like, here's some fun things if you want to do this in your Christian walk, go ahead and put these things on, because this is part of the fruit of the Spirit, right? And which is produced by faith, and faith is not optional to our relationship with God, right? So this is a value that actually comes apart, that is produced by the Spirit as we walk closely to God. So it's not just a matter of, I'm going to be patient. Does that work for anyone? You say, I'm going to be patient? Me neither. It works. It works when I say, okay, you know what? This is beyond me. I'm going to put my trust in you. I'm going to put my faith in you. I believe, God, that you're going to work this out on your timing. And so let me give you three things on why patience is better. Number one, patience gives room for broken relationships to heal. I'm just going to guess that everybody in here has at least one relationship that needs healing. And what we need in there is patience to allow that room for healing to take place. And usually when we think about healing, we usually are not healing, but patience, we think about things, right? Think about fast food's too slow. You can pre-order your fast food now. Instant coffee, that's too slow and doesn't taste great to begin with. So now you have Keurig, right? We get this even faster. And then there's this monumental tribute to how fast we want things. We got smartphones, and we got high-speed internet that sometimes works. And we have these options where, hey, I can avoid going to the DMV. I can do this thing online. Or I can avoid standing in line at the post office. Are we people that struggle with patience or what? I mean we're always trying to find something, a way to get things done quicker. And, you know, microwaves and all these things. And I'm not suggesting these developments aren't wonderful. You know, why wait in line when we don't have to? But here's something that we sometimes forget. Behind all of this are people. There are people behind all of this. I had an experience, it was last week or so, that maybe you've had this experience recently. I was frustrated how a certain store handled something. They didn't handle it the way that they said they would. And I was going to go in there, and you know, like you have that thing in your head where you're like, I'm going to give somebody a piece of my mind. You should pause to see if you have enough to afford to give that away. But I was at that place where I'm like, yeah, I'm telling somebody off now. And as I was going to talk to that person, something prompted me, maybe it's the Holy Spirit, that said, this is a real person that I'm going to go talk to right now. This is a real person working under difficult circumstances that are difficult for all of us. And immediately I changed my tune. I didn't say, hey, thanks, you guys are doing a great job. But I came up, I said, yeah, I've got a question. I'm wondering why this happened this way. And the person said, well, this is why, this and this. And I said, okay, how can we work this out? It was a very pleasant conversation. and I didn't get everything that I wanted done on that day. But how many of you ever get whatever you want in life? That's the kind of way it works, right? Life happens, things happen. Things happen, now what? And here's the thing. Things did work out. But here's what's most important to me. I can go back into that store. I can go talk to that individual and walk up and say hi. And they're going to greet me. They're going to be glad to see me. Any of you that have worked in retail, you probably know had I told that person off next time, like, oh, here he comes. You know, are you saying to your friends, here he comes. That's the guy I was telling you about. And here's the thing. You know what happens in that? I lose my testimony. I lose my opportunity to speak into that person's life. Because if I just told them what an idiot they are, do you think they're really interested in me coming back and saying, hey, let me tell you how you can have Jesus in your life and just be as nice as I am to everyone else? They're not interested in that, right? And you know what? This is just kind of a more of a superficial relationship. How many times, because we're impatient, do we lose that credibility with those that we interact with all the time, with those that we know and we love? And the reality is we live in a personal world. How many of you have felt that effect in the last 2 months where things became more impersonal? I mean, I'm delighted, and we're going to continue to do the online services. I'm delighted that we can do that. I'm delighted for things like Zoom conferencing, and you should have bought stock in Zoom a couple months ago. But here's the thing that I found myself noticing: Zoom doesn't cut it. It's great. We can accomplish things, but at some point we need this, right? We need this. We need this personal interaction. We were created for this, and we need that. We need to relate with actual people, and you know what that's going to require? Because community and all that sounds great until you're in it, right? And then you go, there's problems here, and that's where we need to be patient with others. Need to be patient with ourselves. Last week I talked about the story of Joseph. He had some delightful brothers, sold him into slavery. He was put in prison. Man, me and my siblings are great when I look at this story. Any other story, then we can challenge it. But what did Joseph do in all that? He was patient. He was patient through all of that. He was patient. He allowed God to work in his own life. He allowed God to work in their lives. Here's the thing. Evil's going to happen. Evil will happen in this world until Christ returns. Evil happens. But when we are patient, here's what God does. God takes what was meant for evil and he uses it for good. Right? That's what he did in Joseph's life. He worked in his life and at the point later in his life, he could have had all his brothers killed. He could have had all his brothers, he could have had them in prison. But he was patient. He allowed God to work in their lives, in his own life, and he was able to forgive them. And he's even able to say, hey, you guys meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And when we're being patient, here's what we're going to need to do. Not everybody shares your pace. They don't share your practices, and they don't share your priorities. You need to be patient as God is working in that person's life. Secondly, patience gives God time to work. How many of you have ever thought about it this way? I was pondering this week, that really my impatience is a form of unbelief. It's kind of a thought of, hey God, you don't really have this. I don't really trust your timing. Patience with God is learning to go at his pace. How many of you have realized that God doesn't always work on your time schedule? And how many of you have come to that place where you wanted something on a certain time schedule, and you're praying for that, you're hoping for that, and it didn't happen, and then later you find out, you say, oh, thank you, Lord. I am so thankful that that did not happen the way, I'm not saying everything in life does that, but there are plenty of times where I can look back and say, thank you, God. I'm thankful that you delivered this on your timing. And the reality is I want God to inject me with some patience. You know, like, okay, God, just give me patience and give it to me now. And it doesn't work that way, does it? Patience is kind of like this. It's kind of like a muscle, right? What happens when you have muscle and you don't use them? Well, you look like this. That's what happens to you. That's what happens. So where we need to exercise this. We need to wait on God, but we exercise this. It's not that we're inactive. In fact, think about Jesus. In John chapter 2, here's what Jesus said. He said, my time has not yet come. So he was waiting, right? Now what did Jesus do? Did Jesus go, my time has not yet come, and he just sat down and did nothing? No, he went about what he knew his Father wanted him to do. He took the next step. He moved forward. So what do you do in a time of waiting? I know there's people out there, they're saying, I'm just waiting for things to go back to normal. I don't know if things are going back to normal. In fact, like I said the other service, our plan is not to go back and be the church that we were. Our plan is to grow and become the church that God wants us to be. All right? Our plan is going forward. And so we're not just waiting for something to end. We're actually moving forward. So in that time of waiting, you step forward. You move forward. Think about it in Joshua chapter 3. As they cross the river, they're going to go in. Going to the promised land. If you remember the story, the water was flowing, and the priests they stepped out into the water, and what happened when they stepped into that water? It became dry land. You know, so they're patient and they're moving forward, and I can just tell you, those of you who have been around for years, that has been our story at Hope Community Church, we're waiting patiently for God to do something. You know, we're at places where we're like, hey, we're out of money next month. And what are we going to do? Well, we're going to step forward. Okay, God, we're stepping forward. We're going to trust you. Next month comes. Hey, money just came in. And we've had testimony after that. I mean, we started without a worship team. It's kind of crazy when I look back. But we were believing that God was going to deliver as we waited patiently and we stepped forward when he told us to do that. And then this guy Josh shows up one day, leads worship, and I said, hey, can you do that like every single Sunday forever? and he's still here. So this isn't, I'm not telling you to push forward in spite of what God's showing you. But to wait on God, hear his voice. Like that song we were singing, if he says go to the left, we're going to go to the left. He says go to the right, we're going to go to the right. And we step forward as we're waiting on God, and he delivers on his timetable, not mine. Last time I checked with him, he reserves the right to be God. Last thing. Number 3, patience should resemble the patience God has demonstrated towards you. Wow. That's where it gets real, right? I mean, I don't know about you, but God has been patient with me. I read something the other day that I found amusing. It said if you look back 30, 40 years ago, and you don't see yourself as a knucklehead, you're probably still a knucklehead. And that's probably not true with all of you. But I read that and I'm like, I was a knucklehead and God was patient with me. But Peter says this in 2 Peter 3:8 and 9. He says, do not overlook this one fact. So there's something he doesn't want you to overlook, this one thing. He says, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but was patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but all should reach repentance. Think about that. Patient with that person at the store. You know what that does? That gives me an opportunity to speak to that person. I need to be at least as patient as God was with me. And Jesus didn't give up with people. That's one of the things that amazes me about Jesus. Because he was surrounded by some knuckleheads. Let's just be real honest about that. And he met some really messed up people. I mean, he talks to this woman at the well, and she shares her story. And Jesus doesn't say, oh, I didn't know that you had all those troubles, and, you know, kind of walk away from her. You know, he's patient with this person. How about Zacchaeus? I mean, Zacchaeus is one of those guys. Zacchaeus is a traitor. I mean, he stole from his own people. And Jesus doesn't abandon him. Think about Peter, the guy who wrote this. I think Peter understood this, but was patient towards you. You know how easy it would have been for Jesus to give up on Peter? I mean, think this through. He's been with Jesus for 3 years. He's the one who said, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. And then this same Peter in the courtyard, he says, I tell you, I don't know the man. He rejected Jesus. Now, if Jesus treated Peter the way sometimes you and I might treat people, you know, after the resurrection, when he appeared before Peter, you know, Peter's like, hey, Jesus, oh, you know me now, huh? I thought you didn't. But Jesus doesn't do that, right? He's patient. He allows the Holy Spirit to work in a person's life. He doesn't write people off. He doesn't give up. God is calling you and I to be patient. Patient is a much better way to live. What's the circumstance? Who's the person that God is calling you to be patient with today? I'm not telling you to be a doormat, but to be patient and allow God to work in that person's life. Let me close in a word of prayer. Lord God, we're so thankful for you. We're so thankful for your patience, Lord. Lord, the word says that you sent your Son at the right time. You were patient. Jesus patiently endured the cross that we could have life, that our sins would be forgiven, that we could spend eternity with you. And so, Father God, I pray for each one of us today. I pray that we would have faith in you, that you will do what you need to do in your timing. Lord God, that we would show the same patience you showed towards us, other people. Father God, we love you and we praise you. It's in Christ's name we pray.